Some chose to take to the roads in an endless migration to nowhere. Others took to the woods to hunt, to the fields to plant. Some formed communities that ebbed and flowed as they struggled to live in a world where a handful of salt was more precious than gold. And some, like those who found and formed New Hope, rebuilt. When the world ended, Arliss Reed had reported it from the New York anchor desk she'd inherited. She'd watched the city burn around her, and in the end, had chosen to tell the truth to all who could still hear her and escape. She'd seen death up close, had killed to survive. She'd seen the nightmares and the wonders. She, along with a handful of people, including three infants, found the deserted rural town they had christened New Hope, and there they made their stand. Now, in year four, New Hope was home to more than 300, had a mayor and town council, a police force, two schools, one for magical training and education, a community garden and kitchen, two farms, one with a mill for flour and grain, a medical clinic with a small dentistry, a library, an armory, and a militia. They had doctors, healers, herbalists, weavers, sewing circles, plumbers, mechanics, carpenters, cooks. Some of them had made their living on those skills in the old world. Most studied and learned them in the new. They had armed security posted around the clock, and though it remained on a volunteer basis, most all residents participated in combat and weapons training. The New Hope massacre, in their first year, remained a raw scar on their hearts and minds. That scar, and the graves of the dead, led to the forming of the militia and to the rescue parties who risked their lives to save others. Arliss stood on the sidewalk, looking at New Hope, and saw why it mattered, why all of it mattered. More than surviving, as it had been for those first horrible months, more even than building, as it had been for the months that followed, it was living, and it was, like the town, hope. It mattered, she thought now, that Laurel, Elf, came out to sweep the porch of the building where she lived on a cool spring morning. Up the street, Bill Anderson polished the glass on his shop window, and inside the shelves held dozens and dozens of useful things for easy bartering. Fred, the young intern who'd faced the horrors of the underground out of New York with Arliss, would be busy in the community garden. Fred, with her magic wings and endless optimism, lived every day with hope. Rachel, doctor and good, good friend, stepped out to open the doors of the clinic and wave. "Where's the baby?" Arliss called out. "Sleeping, unless Jonas picked him up again when my back was turned. The man's bedazzled. As a daddy should be. Isn't today your 6-week checkup, Doc? Big day for you." "This doctor's already given her patient the all clear, but Ray's going to formalize it. Big day for you, too. How do you feel?" "Great. Excited. A little nervous." "I'll be tuning in, and I want to see you in here when you're done. I'll be there." As she spoke, Arliss laid a hand on the mountain of her belly. "This baby's got to be about cooked. Much longer, I won't even be able to waddle. We'll check it out." "Good morning, Clarice," Rachel said as the first patient of the day came up the walk. "Come right on in. Good luck, Arliss. We'll be listening." Arliss started to waddle, really, what other word was there, and stopped when she heard her name called. She waited for Will Anderson, her childhood neighbor, current town deputy, and, as it turned out, the love of her life. He laid a hand over hers on her belly, kissed her.
"Walk you to work?"
"Sure." He linked fingers with her as they walked to where he'd lived during his first months in the community.
"Okay with you if I hang around and watch?"
"If you want, but I don't know how long it's going to take to set up. Chuck's optimistic, but—
"If Chuck says we can do this, we can."
As her belly pinged with nerves, she let out a breath.
"I've got to go with you there."
Chuck had been her primary source during the doom, a hacker and IT genius who now ruled over what technology they had. In the basement, of course. The man was a confirmed basement dweller.
"I want to see you at work,"
Will added. "What do you call what I do at home with the New Hope Bulletin?"
"Work and a boon to the community.